It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, and through your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, as always, brought to you by the Coach and Force Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And, Bill, typically we prioritize Auburn football, but not only is Auburn coming off a bye, we've got a lot of good stuff to talk about just about Auburn athletics as a whole, don't we?
Absolutely. War Eagle, good morning. Glad to be here. It has been a great week, considering we didn't play a football game,
right.
for everything else Auburn. Last Saturday, the Auburn Tigers baseball team was here for a exhibition doubleheader. They limited the games to seven innings. Couldn't have asked for better weather.
Got
to meet the head coach and all the players on Friday. All of them came out to Lagunas and got to experience a little bit of Pensacola. They also visited the Naval Air Museum at NAS, so they got a treat that way. Went out to Wahoo Stadium and watched Auburn play baseball against Florida State. Won the first game 4-1, and won the second game 9-5.
Yep.
And in total, Auburn's pitchers were better than 60% of their pitches were strikes, yep. Which is a huge difference over last season. That our pitching was probably one of the things that limited our ability to get into the College World Series. It didn't survive the season. It started strong, and then it was kind of cyclic. We'd have good games and then bad games in pitching. But this new pitching core, I'm excited. I'm very excited for Auburn baseball this year. The kids look good. It was so much fun watching them in Wahoo Stadium, and you couldn't have asked for better weather. And, of course, as soon as that game was announced, with it being Auburn and Florida State both having pretty decent-sized fan bases here, the tickets sold out in less than 24 hours.
So, yeah.
And that included standing room only tickets. So that shows you how excited both fan bases are about their baseball teams. Outside of baseball, we had a great recruiting acquisition again. We picked up Naeem Alford, five-star cornerback. He was talking to Ohio State. He was looking at Alabama, and he committed to Auburn. So he's right in there with a stellar recruiting class. In spite of the football season we're having a great recruiting year. And I like that because the things I'm hearing out of the people that I know that are close to the program, and I said it the last several weeks, there's still good leadership in the locker room among the players. The seniors are gelling together and keeping the team together. They're staying focused. They're trusting their coaching staff. The coaching staff is still committed to doing the things that they want to do. They're still working on fixing all the problems. But you can't go out and recruit those kind of players if there's problems in your clubhouse.
Yeah.
Because they'll see it. When they make their official visits on campus, they'll see that things aren't working. So they're obviously coming and they're seeing things that they like, and they're seeing that everything's working. It's not showing up on the scoreboard so far this year, but they see what the potential is going to be, and
right.
they want to be a part of it. So I'm very excited about that. Man, I'm just looking forward to what that's going to bring us in the future.
Yeah, y'all have gotten a few guys. You got Deuce Knight. We touched on that, I think, in a previous episode. You got Deuce Knight.
Yeah, huge flip from Notre Dame.
And then you got wide receiver Sam Turner flip from Georgia Tech to Auburn as well.
That's all in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, this is days old news. I mean, this is happening pretty.
And they were all in the
rapidly.
Top. They were all in the top 10 nationally, as far as targets for recruiting. So, you know. Man, it's so awesome to be able to see Auburn recruit like this.
Well,
haven't seen it since Tuberville, quite frankly.
And I think the recruiting is a product of what you and I have already seen on the field. You talk about how, hey, look, the team hasn't been so hot this year, 2-4 start, but there is potential with the team. Heck, man, we've been saying that. You look at some of these losses that Auburn's had, and the common denominator has been, outside of maybe the Georgia game, these were avoidable losses. And no one's going to judge you for losing to Georgia.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we touched on it since the season started. you turn the ball over five times, I don't care who you're playing.
You're likely gonna lose.
Yeah, you're flipping the field five times, and it's so hard to recover from that. And then, of course, right. that pick six in the Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
You know, we had the momentum. We were leading, and it looked like we were going to actually perform the way everybody was expecting to perform. It's not just the mistakes. It's the impact that those mistakes had on the game. And when your mistakes have an enormous impact, I mean, it's okay if you turn the ball over and then make them go three and out. You just added one possession to your game and maybe flip the field another 30, 35 yards.
Yeah.
But when you turn the ball over and they score off the turnover, that's what hurts. And that's what Auburn's been facing so far this season. And they're still trying to work that out. And I'm hoping the Missouri game shows up some improvement in that arena as far as the turnovers and the mistakes being so costly.
No, I agree with you 100% because Auburn, I mean, I think Auburn's better than they look, and I think Mizzou is, I'm not going to say worse than they look, but they are, I described them to you one-on-one as one-dimensional. And we'll get details on that. I'm not going to ramble on that just yet. I do want to say, just to kind of keep the positive momentum going here early, we touched on Auburn football recruiting doing well, touched on Auburn baseball winning that doubleheader with Florida State. And then you got some news about Auburn basketball as well, correct?
Absolutely. Auburn basketball, we're preseason ranked number 11. We've got one of the number one, according to what fan sites you go to, the number one player in NCAA in Janiah Broome. And he is a big guy. He was a huge, impactful player last year. Mm-hmm. Anytime he was underneath the basket, he was either scoring if he was on offense or he was getting rebounds or blocking the ball on defense. It was just – he was an immediate impact player, and he's back, and he's better than last year, and he's a leader, and the kids are going to follow him. And I know Coach Pearl is just so excited about getting this – basketball season going. I'm looking forward to basketball season as well. Always loved Auburn Tiger basketball. I mean, we went to the Final Four in 2019, and if it hadn't been for a foul at the 3-point line in the corner against Virginia, we probably would have ended up in the title game.
Well,
yeah, you know, woulda, couldas, though.
Yeah, no, that is ifs and buts, candy and nuts. Yeah. I got you. No, but you bring up a good point, though, because that's what I was going to say anyway. Auburn's not really, with basketball, they're not really riding too much on potential. We've seen what this team can do. Weren't they a 4 seed in the tournament last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a rough bracket and didn't play out too well. But we've been able to get into the NCAA tournament quite often now since Bruce Pearl's been there.
Yeah.
Auburn used to never be a basketball school. I mean, even back in the 80s when I was in school – it was, we had Charles Barkley, you had Chuck Persons. I mean, we had talent, and we went deep at times, but you were never considered to be a basketball school. Auburn was always a football school. Well, Auburn's kind of an everything school now.
Sounds like it.
We have titles in swimming and diving. We have titles in equestrian. We own the current title in men's golf. We have a solid girls softball team. They've been to the College World Series several times. We have a solid baseball team. We have a great basketball team. And of course, Auburn football it can be cyclic at times, but man, when we're high, we're riding high.
Yeah. And I think we are. I think we're going to see some of that riding high against Missouri. Of course, in our next segment, we'll really dive into what it's going to take to beat Mizzou. I will say this. I'm going to be as in depth as I can. I'm going to use every ounce of my journalistic ability, Bill, to try to dig something out of this Missouri-UMass game. UMass, for those who are not aware, top two FBS worst team of the past several years. I think they're one win this season. So Mizzou going to UMass, I guess congrats on going into enemy territory, if you can call it that. Beat them, what, 45-3? I did see something from Missouri that – it's something we touched on last week, and it's something that we'll touch on further coming up. But Missouri's reliance on the rushing attack, it's a two-sided thing. You've got the rushing attack, and then you've got the rushing defense. They held UMass for what it's worth. Let's see here. I got the numbers. They ran for half of their 461 yards and four of their six touchdowns against the Minutemen. Meanwhile, they held the Minutemen to just 95 rushing yards on 31 carries. So they were big on shutting down the opponent running the ball down their throats. That's what Missouri's done in some of their best games. And you see it when it comes to facing some of their closer opponents, whether it be Boston College or Vanderbilt. You don't see as big of a gap in the rushing game. You don't see as big of a gap on the scoreboard. So I do think that's going to be a difference maker in this matchup.
I agree with you. UMass, though, I don't think is the
gauge.
It's not the best metric to gauge their who that team is.
I agree 100%.
That Texas A&M game is definitely the gauge.
That's the big one.
That's a much more similar matchup as far as athletes on the field.
Yeah, just caliber of opponents.
Size and speed and skill players. So I'm excited about the opportunity to get to play. And I've got a lot I want to talk about what I want to see the Auburn Tigers do in this weekend's game.
And every time before we go on air, every Thursday, you and I, we got a little nook. I don't even know if you can call it an office. Got a little nook over there that where we discuss, you know, what we're going to talk about. And I think, yeah, with that, you and I are on the same page 100%. You know, and I would say that Auburn, when it comes to this game, I think they can be very special. Speaking of specials, you've got something in your hands there, don't you?
Absolutely. Just a quick reminder of who our sponsor is, Coach and Forest Steakhouse. Make your way there. It's on Pine Forest Road across from the racetrack. Saddle up to the bar. Get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And especially this Saturday, because our game's an 11 o'clock game, so there's no excuse for not going there and taking advantage of this.
No, that's a
good. And mention that you heard about it right here on ESPN Radio.
Absolutely, yeah. Tell them that if you're hearing about Coach and Forest Steakhouse from us, let them know.
Absolutely. Let them know. Yeah, it makes a difference.
And that's why they're our sponsor anyway. Just about a quarter after 10, we'll take a quick break here. When we return, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, we'll touch on what basically makes or breaks Missouri as far as this rushing game goes, and how Auburn, both offensively, whether it be their own rushing attack, or defensively when it comes to stopping Mizzou's, we'll see how Auburn can handle that and perhaps hold their own this weekend. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and again, brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
You keep cleaning out the garage, and there's no room for your car. That's why it's time you call Florida's Finest Structures. They're locally owned and operated for over 20 years, and they build quality sheds, cottages, gazebos, garages, man caves,
and cheese sheds.
That's right. What makes them unique is they build your structure on your property. If you need to take down a fence or a tree, just show them where you want your new shed, and they'll start building. Get the quality and the experience at the best prices in town. It's Florida Finest Structures with sales locations in Pensacola, Pace, and in Gulf Breeze.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. In my 12 years of practice as a reproductive urologist, I've helped many guys with ED, and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to HIMSS. It really wasn't easy before. You had to take time out of your day, come to a physical office, and see a specialist like me in person. Now, through HIMSS.com, you can get world-class sexual health care and a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. It starts with a free assessment from a medical provider licensed in your state who can determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. So don't wait. Join the hundreds of thousands of guys who've gotten help for their ED through HIMSS.
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust in Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards golf lessons to become a scratch golfer.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you will ever become a scratch golfer. Scratch golfers are really, really good. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average. And sure, you could put that money towards lessons, but if you can't hit the broadside of a barn and think you're going to become a scratch golfer, you're delusional. Sorry, just telling it like it is. Savings, maybe. Scratch golfer, don't hold your breath.
Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. It's universally accepted that golf is hard. Progressive cannot guarantee improved performance on the course.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook / ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola. All sports, all the time. The Rich Eisen Show, on weekdays after Greeny, 11 to 2, on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Auburn football, talking about what it's going to take to beat this Missouri team. And I think just I'll pass it to you with this short answer here. I don't think it's going to take as much to beat Missouri as you would maybe assume at face value.
I would say you're probably right with that. I don't think we're going to have to attack them in the air.
Right.
And that's really what I wanted to get into about this upcoming game is a lot of the chatter, of course we've had 2 weeks to chatter about it, is do more with the running game.
Yeah.
The running game, they've only given up the ball once in running. They've had a couple of fumbles, but we've recovered our own fumbles, but only one real turnover, and that was in the rain against Cal. But Jarquez Hunter's on his way to having a 1,000-yard season, and he's getting less than 15, 16 carries a game. He's right. He's had 78 carries, 528 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's averaging 6.8 yards per carry. I don't want to see them use him the same way we did with Kerryon Johnson. But that was a different season because we didn't really have a whole lot behind Kerryon Johnson to fill the running gap if we had to take him out.
Right.
But they would run him 28, 29, sometimes over 30 carries a game, and it would tire him out. And so I'm not suggesting, obviously, tiring out Jarquez Hunter,
yeah.
But give him the ball 20, 25 times a game. With a 6.8-yard average, you're looking at 300-plus yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Not just him, but spreading the ball around, but give him the ball enough so that he gets the lion's share of the ground game because he's productive.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that they need to focus. That's just my opinion. I still think Peyton Thorne's going to be the starting quarterback. I don't see there being much change coming in the quarterback room.
Nah, I agree with you.
And I would like to see them not put so much reliance on his arm. He's got it. When he scrambles – whether it's a quarterback keeper or whether it's a broken play and he has to make something happen with his feet, with his legs, he's capable of running the ball. So he adds to the running attack, and he also adds to the way the defense reacts to Auburn's offense.
Yeah.
But run the dang ball, you know? everybody in our watch party group that's tight, we're all together, we had hats made years ago that said run the dang ball because that – Auburn is a running football team. Don't get away from that. Add to it,
yeah.
But don't take away from it, and use this guy because this guy right here is going to have a 1,000-yard season, and I want to see him have somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 touchdowns by the time the year's over.
Yeah, well, you said, I mean, you were talking about his amount of carries. Jarquez Hunter, just to revisit the Georgia game a couple weeks back, Jarquez had 13 carries, that's all. He averaged 7 yards on those carries, 91 rushing yards in total, and he had Auburn's sole touchdown, and that was against Georgia. And we were talking about Missouri. You know, it's not just Jarquez being one heck of a running back. It's that Missouri, once you carve up their rushing defense, it seems like they're kind of up the creek without the paddle. We mentioned the – we had kind of hinted at it before, the A&M game. Just to revisit the numbers there, A&M completely shut down Missouri's rushing attack, which Auburn defensively can certainly do. We'll touch more on that in a moment. But Texas A&M stopped Missouri, held them to just 68 yards on 30 carries. That is Missouri scrambling, trying to get some sort of rhythm on the rushing game. Texas A&M did not allow it. A&M ran up and down the field, 236 yards, 5 touchdowns. Missouri just couldn't stop them. That's how you get a 41-10. We're not asking Auburn to win by 31.
That's how you eat up the clock, too.
That is. That
you
is.
You shorten the game. You lengthen your possessions.
Yeah.
And you produce points at the end of each drive. So there's so many positive things that happen if you put just a little bit more reliance on that rushing game.
Yeah, I'm not.
And it opens a door for the little passes, the little play action passes.
Yeah, and as you said, or as I said, rather, I'm not asking Auburn to win by 31. We're not asking you to spot them 34 points.
I'll be glad with a 1-point win.
Yeah, exactly. I look at Auburn. We've talked about their defense. You don't really see teams running up to score on Auburn. They can't do it. Over halfway through the Georgia game, Georgia had 14 points. Auburn can contain these teams. If you can contain Missouri's rushing defense, or rushing attack in particular, you can win this game. Jarquez Hunter can have one heck of a game. Y'all have got a deep running back room, deep enough to win here. You had mentioned something about Auburn, their rushing defense in particular, that it was pretty stout. You said against Georgia, that was probably one of their worst games, right?
At the end of the game, it was. Well, like you said, they only scored 14 points up until, almost the end of the third quarter. And a lot of what Georgia was doing to beat Auburn's defense was the passes over the middle at like the 8 to 15-yard range.
Right.
So they were throwing over the rushing defense. They completely went away from trying to rush the ball between the tackles. And of course, they had the quarterback and they had the skill players on the outside, the receivers, to do that. But it forced them to rely on that, and Auburn's defense got tired. But they still played great. I thought our defensive effort in the Georgia game was really good. It's just they were on the field for a long time.
Well, and it's worth noting that that's Georgia. Georgia's going to be good.
That's typically how an Auburn-Georgia game goes.
Yeah.
It's a dog – pardon the – you know, I know they're Bulldogs, but it's a dog fight whether we win or lose. And sometimes the wins are pretty lopsided, and other times it's a 1-point ball game.
Right. Well, and see, that's the thing. You expect Georgia to play you tough because not only are they a rival, but with the grip that they've had on the college football world these past several years, you know, you expect it to be tougher. Missouri, they're good. No one's not trying to rag on them here. They're good. They're not as good as Georgia, of course. Their athletes aren't as good as Georgia's. And I feel like Auburn can contain them. Jarquez Hunter, as you said, we're not asking him to have some Barry Sanders stat line. Just if you can run this ball down their throats, control the flow of the game, I think you can win it. And I think this is a very low-scoring game. We had touched on the over-under being 51.5. Auburn's own passing game is limited. It seems like when you force Missouri to pass, they're limited. I don't see this being 51.5 points.
I agree with you there. I don't see I see it being the under.
Yeah.
And
quite easily.
You and I discussed that before we went on the air. I'm thinking somewhere around 24-13.
Yeah.
Is more likely 21-13.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Put it this way. The over-under has it being over 50. We don't even have it being 40. I don't see it being that high.
It's a defensive game. Both teams have stellar defenses. It's just going to be a matter of which offense can step it up and take advantage of the other side.
Yeah, I think it will be very physical, very low scoring. I don't want it to come off as if I'm talking in circles here, but I do think that really is just – I guess I am stressing it so much because I know Auburn needs to do the same. Stress the running game, stress the defense. You're going to win this game. You're not going to hold Mizzou to much. That's what I think the formula is. Mizzou's not going to get much on you. Now, I did want to, because we've just got a couple minutes here before we go back to break, I did want to tackle a couple of stories going around the SEC. For starters, Vandy is not ranked. And I find this, I don't know how you stand on it, but I find it a tad controversial. Vandy has beaten number 7 Alabama. They beat Kentucky. They were a double-digit underdog against the Wildcats. Beat them on the road. They're 4-2. They're not ranked. What do you think?
I think they're a top 25 team.
They'll
be at the bottom end of the 25 ranking, but I think they deserve to be ranked.
Yeah.
Think about what that means to beat an Alabama at home the way they did.
Right.
And then take that momentum on the road against a Kentucky, which played Georgia, the best game Georgia's had all year as far as
beat Ole Miss on the road.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
For a team that usually is what I guess some people would call the doormat of the SEC. I don't consider anybody in the SEC to be a doormat to anybody. But they are consistently near the bottom of the SEC.
Yeah.
They have stellar years. This looks like it's going to be one of their stellar years.
Yeah, we always hear about the James Franklin days because they haven't been really very good at all since the James Franklin days. They won like 9 games back-to-back years, I believe, with James Franklin, and they haven't done much since then. And now, I mean, last year they went 2-10. Their 2 wins were over Hawaii and Alabama A&M. So to see them now with wins over Bama and at Kentucky, and they're winning twice as much as they're losing. I mean, you got to give them some love.
They took advantage of that transfer portal and brought in that quarterback from New Mexico State.
Diego Bryan.
That made a huge difference in their ability to score points because now they got a really experienced leader and a skill player that's calling the plays on the field.
Well, and you know, this could point to a bigger topic regarding like the transfer portal and how everyone always talks about, transfer portal, NIL, it's going to even the playing field. They talk about it like it's some flat tax. No, that's not going to happen. But it may make Alabama kind of struggle a bit more. The Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Oklahomas. It may make Vandy kind of scare you a bit more if they find a gym through the transfer portal or fork over some money for a guy or something. It does. It does make you think that maybe this is a product of where college football is headed.
I'm with you there. I don't believe the NIL and transfer portal thing is going to make too much of a difference at the top.
No.
It creeps up and down a little bit at the top levels. What it's doing is it's taking the bottom ones and it's raising all of them more up toward the middle.
Exactly.
So it's bringing the lower end teams more in line with the rest of their conferences, and it's producing, but in my opinion, it's producing better football.
No, well, because it just logically, it's going to have more upsets and more parity. I agree with you 100%. Everyone's clicking Mayday, as I said. Like, they're acting like this is going to level everyone out. No, it's not. Like, that's not going to happen.
As long as it doesn't get out of hand, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get further out of hand, some would argue. Also want to touch on this because we've got a couple minutes too. Just very quickly, Kirby Smart. Shoving Michael Van Buren.
Yeah, I've seen all the chatter about it. I actually didn't see it happen, and I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. But to me, it kind of reminds me of the Woody Hayes incident, you know,
right,
40 years ago. Maybe not as bad as that.
Yeah, Woody Hayes went to punch a player in the neck.
yeah, but the impact it has on your program and what people perceive you to be that aren't fans of your team.
Yeah.
It sure makes for motivation for other teams.
Yeah, it kind of puts a target on your back. And I heard what Kirby Smart said. For those who didn't see, it was full push, full arms extended, made the conscious decision, I'm going to shove somebody. And he said, I was trying to get the attention of my defensive coordinator. That doesn't address the fact that you shoved somebody. You shouldn't shove anyone like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a non-apology.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry to the player. I reached out. He's a great player, yada, yada, yada.
It's more of, I'm sorry that it happened and it got caught on camera.
I'm sorry y'all saw me do that.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's concerning, especially when you look at Georgia. I'm not going to delve into detail on it, but their players' morals are questionable. You know, they've had some off-season headlines that teams wouldn't really prefer. So to see that, and then you got Kirby and his own issue now, it's a culture question.
It definitely didn't help.
No, it hurts the image. Absolutely. And that's not a knock on Georgia. It's just the facts. When you've got your coach shoving the opposing player's QB, it's never going to be a good look. Just past 10:30 here, we'll take a quick break. When we return, of course, we touched on Auburn and Mizzou, and we'll give our score updates on that later this show. But We also got a pretty loaded weekend in college football and in the SEC in particular, looking at Alabama, Tennessee, looking at Texas, Georgia. We got details on that and more coming up. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and, of course, brought to you by Cochin 4 Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
What makes a winning team for a car dealership? Start with a legacy of over 43 years, providing generations of families with a car buying experience that keeps folks coming back for more, as in Pete Moore. The Pete Moore Automotive Team, with its lineup of new Chevys, Volkswagens, and Mitsubishis, as well as pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for all brands, domestic or imported. This season, win with PeteMoore.com. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. 103 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go this fall to watch your favorite team. With 15 TVs featuring the NFL Ticket, SEC, Big Ten, ESPN Plus, Prime, and NBC Peacock for your viewing. Buckets of beer specials and football with a view of Pensacola Beach. And you won't want to miss their big Halloween bash October 26th and your share of $1,000 in prizes. Bamboo Willie's on Pensacola Beach Boardwalk.
The Big Bamboo!
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life oil filter for just $35.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hey, sports fans, stay up to date with the latest news and scores right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. And if there's a hurricane headed our way, don't worry, we've got you covered there too on our sister station, News Radio Pensacola, 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620. We'll be here to keep you informed with the latest news and updates. We'll also have live coverage of evacuations and other important information. So, for hurricane coverage, tune in to News Radio Pensacola. For sports, you're in the right place. ESPN Pensacola.
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing catch. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guard's Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 void in Mississippi.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And you can also thank Cochin 4 Steakhouse for bringing this show to you every Thursday morning. All righty, Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And we were just talking about Auburn and Mizzou, of course, huge game, along with some other swirling stories, you know, just kind of hovering around the SEC. But speaking of the SEC, we've got a loaded slate this weekend. Auburn and Missouri is just the tip of the iceberg. Bill, I want to get some of your thoughts on these because a lot of these spreads I'm seeing are pretty narrow. And we've even got some road teams favored in a couple of them. So we'll start easy just because we're going chronologically here and this is a pretty weak game. South Carolina goes to Oklahoma. It's expected to be good. Oklahoma's a 1.5-point favorite. But what do you think? You think South Carolina gets the road dub here or Norman bounces back?
I think Oklahoma's going to win this game.
Really? You think they cover
Norman,
that spread there?
it's just a hard place to go play.
Yeah, especially if you're South Carolina and the Gamecocks. I mean,
they've been pretty inconsistent. They have great games, and then they have very pedestrian efforts. So. Well,
and we can sit here and we can talk about, you know, South Carolina. Oh, okay, here's games you should have won. I think Auburn can definitely relate to that. You know, being in a position where, hey, we should have won that game, whether it was South Carolina's against LSU or maybe against Alabama last week. If you look at these, you're like, oh, these were winnable. You know, it doesn't change the fact they are now winning as much as they're losing. I mean, you're breaking even. You're on the road. Oklahoma, I'm assuming, out for blood. I would be if I lost 34-3 to my rivals. So I would have to assume Oklahoma gets the win there. Next up, we've got, speaking of rivalry games, number 7, Alabama at number 11, Tennessee. Both of these teams, to put it lightly, underperformed last week. Alabama squeaking past the Gamecocks. Tennessee squeaking past Florida. If I'm Tennessee, I'm livid here, and there's two reasons why. Alabama's coming to my house, and they're still favored. That upsets me. Alabama's favored by 3. If I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm through the roof over that. Another thing I'm upset about, Tennessee was 8th. They struggled with a rival, Florida, and fell out of the top 10. They dropped 3 spots. Alabama struggled at home against South Carolina, who's not a rival, and didn't move. So Alabama was 1 spot ahead of Tennessee. Now they're 4 spots ahead of them. If I'm Tennessee, I'm coming out. I'm trying to send a message. Do you think the Volunteers do that, or do you think Alabama bounces back?
I guarantee you in that locker room, that's been the point of discussion this whole week preparing for that game. Look what they did to us. Look what they didn't do to them.
Right.
And Rocky Top all the way.
You got Tennessee winning? I do, too. I got Tennessee winning this game. I got them winning it narrowly.
What is it, 104,000 capacity in their stadium?
It's one of the biggest stadiums
in the
country and the
world. With standing room, there will be 110,000 people there, and it will be loud.
Right.
And hopefully they're going to have a whole lot to cheer about.
Well, and both of these teams are trying to prove that they're playoff worthy. But Tennessee, man, it's different when they're playing Bama.
Yeah, Tennessee has a tougher road to do it just because Alabama has the legacy to fall back on.
Exactly.
But I see Tennessee winning this game.
Yeah, this is a make or break thing for Tennessee. I got you winning, Vols, but if you don't, you can't expect people
to
take
you seriously
as a contender.
It'll be a single score game.
You got to be able to beat Alabama here, and I do. I think it's decided by just a couple points. Okay, got another dip in the dramatic factor here. Number 14, A&M. They proved me wrong, Bill. I thought that they didn't deserve to be ranked. They proceeded to dominate Missouri. They beat Arkansas, which looks like a decent win now. But they're now 5-1. Their only loss is to Notre Dame season opener. They're top 15, and they are going to 1-5 Mississippi State. Mississippi State's sole win is over Eastern Kentucky. Do you think Starkville kind of gives the Aggies a bit of a jostle, or do you think the Aggies got it?
The cowbell's not going to do it for them this time.
Yeah.
They'll be ringing that cowbell as long and as loud as they can to try to influence that game, but it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I see too much of a skill gap here. If you want to say, hey, Mississippi State, you know, you can't completely sleep on them. Texas had a slow start against them. Georgia never really pulled away last week. If you want to sit here and say that, fine. But if you're sitting here thinking Mississippi State's going to win, I can't really defend that. Texas A&M favored by 16.5. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't cover. But, I think you and I are in agreement. Aggies convincingly there. Another, man, tight rivalry game. And the ranked team is on the road. Number 8, LSU. Woo-wee. They're riding high. They just beat a top 10 Ole Miss. They go to Arkansas. This is the same field Tennessee lost on. You think the Razorbacks can stun them?
I don't think so. I like the way LSU's looked lately. You know, this is an interesting rivalry game because Arkansas hasn't been in this conference more than 20 years, but it was always
well, –
it was always it, maybe it has.
It doesn't matter.
That sounds about right.
They're not a founding member.
Yeah. But LSU has always played Arkansas. It's always been a rivalry game because they're adjoining states, obviously.
Right.
It's a fun rivalry. I know the LSU fans love to play Arkansas.
And Arkansas, I mean, we can sit here and act like Arkansas is not as good.
If Arkansas plays LSU the way they played against Auburn, they're going to give LSU a run for their money, but I still don't think they're going to win. I think LSU's got better skill players. And they tend to pull out that trick play every now and then here that just catches everybody off guard and kind of flips momentum. So,
right,
I see LSU winning this game.
Well, LSU, obviously they've got better talent. LSU's an NFL factory. But I do think there's a one-game difference in record, and we have to consider, what are Arkansas's losses? They lost barely to a top 15 A&M, and I think that was neutral site, and they lost on the road to Oklahoma State in double OT. And they got that win over Tennessee. So Arkansas could be thinking, hey, we're trying to get ourselves ranked. We're trying to get ourselves seen as like, hey, we're not some incompetent squad. LSU heading into Fayetteville, favored by 2.5. So you got LSU winning.
I like that point spread. I think 3-point game.
Really? You think
it makes sense. I think that makes sense.
I'm right there with you. I've got no confidence in LSU winning, but all week on our sister station, News Radio 92.3, I have been on record saying that LSU will win this game close. So I'll stick by it, but zero confidence in that. I feel a bit more comfortable with this one. Vanderbilt hosting Ball State. You know, hey, man, last year this may have been a tight matchup, but Ball State's 2-4. Vandy's 4-2. We just made an argument for them to get ranked. They're currently sitting right outside the top 25. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if they beat Ball State, I think that's going to be the game that gets them ranked. What do you think? You think they got it?
I agree. I think it might get them ranked just because it adds one to the W column. Right. But even if they beat Ball State by 70 points, it's not going to make the people that actually do the voting that this isn't going to be the game that they look to change their minds one way or the other.
Right.
They want to see another quality win. They want to see another conference win.
Yeah.
So, but this is a great game for them because it's at home, and they get to maybe experiment a little bit and expand on what they've already figured out works for them.
Right.
And maybe prepare themselves for games later in the season. Unfortunately, we have to play them, but
I was telling you about Auburn.
I see this as a game for them to improve on the things that have already worked that they figured out worked.
Yeah.
And build on that and give them some more momentum because now they're on a that'll put them on a 3-win win streak, two big conference games.
Right.
I mean, it's just it makes a big difference in how excited they are about getting prepared for each game.
Yeah, Vandy, they've certainly got room for error here. They're favored by 25.5. Wouldn't be surprised if they covered. I will say, you mentioned Auburn having to play Vandy, and they do in a few weeks. You luckily host them. I think if that game was in Nashville, especially. People always talked about, Nick Saban even said it, it's easy to win at Vandy because you got more fans there. Maybe not this year, now that Vandy fans are on notice of, hey, our team's competent.
Well, if they're not in the stadium this year, they're walking down the main street carrying a goalpost and throwing it in the river. That's the difference this year.
Yeah, so that's going to – I can't believe I'm saying this, but you guys hosting Vanderbilt is going to be one heck of a game to touch on in a few weeks. Alrighty,
we'll save some energy for that one.
Speaking of huge games that – This is one we need to use some energy on. Number 5, Georgia, goes to number 1, Texas. Now, Texas is favored, I think that's fair, by 5 points. Strange spread. This is tough. Who do you have, first of all?
Oh, I have Texas.
Me too. And let me ask you this. Why do you have Texas?
Well, I've been preaching it for 5 weeks now, home field advantage.
Yes, that's huge. That's huge.
It makes a big difference. I think it makes a single score difference for most teams, 3 to 7 points, which would explain the point
the five,
spread.
Yeah.
Georgia's vulnerable. I mean, we saw what they did against Kentucky. Auburn played them real close for 3 quarters.
Yeah.
There's game film out there for them to look at.
Mississippi State put up 31 on them.
Texas looks good.
Yeah.
Now, it pains me to – root for Texas, but Texas looks real good.
Yeah.
And I really think they are truly the number one team in the country.
I agree with you, especially when you look at 2 and 3. Texas being at home, as we said, Georgia's kind of limped to the finish line a time or two. Texas really hasn't. They had a slow start against Mississippi State. They still proceeded to win that game quite convincingly. And it was a conference opener. If you want to judge them for that, go right ahead. But when you look at the fact that they went to Michigan, won big, and, hey, Michigan is still ranked, so do with that what you will. They just beat Oklahoma 34-3. That's unfamiliar territory for Texas as of recently. They shut out Oklahoma.
That's the equivalent of the Auburn-Alabama game for them.
Yeah, they shut out Oklahoma a couple years ago, but that was like a losing Oklahoma team. This now, I mean, Oklahoma's held a heavy hand. For Texas to do that, when as a playoff team they lost to Oklahoma last year, you have to look at Texas and say, okay, they've perhaps hit a new peak at home against Georgia. I'll take Texas. Funny enough, I don't think they cover. I think the score I had for this one was 34-30. So I've got it being a four-point game, so I'm going to really have the bettors on the edge of their seats here. But, yeah,
I'm thinking more about 7 to 10 points.
Really? Yeah, I think they can win by that much because, as you said, Georgia just hasn't looked too ironclad. But I'll assume that Georgia, just like all these great teams do, I will assume that Georgia shows up for it, gives it their all, and they keep it within one score. Then we've got Kentucky at Florida. A lot of people would probably roll their eyes at this one. Kentucky's 3-3, so's Florida. But Florida is at home. Kentucky's had their number the past few years. Florida, close rivalry loss to Tennessee. They're back home now. They're out for blood. Kentucky just got upset at home by Vandy. Do you think Florida defies this 1.5-point spread and actually beats Kentucky?
This one I'm completely unsure about. I mentioned last week or the week before that it looked like Florida was finally getting the wheels back on the car. They were getting back on the track. They starting to look like what they were expected to be before the season started. Kentucky's been kind of a surprise team the way they played against Georgia, even though they got beat by Vandy. Vandy was on a high.
Yeah.
Kentucky may have just been looking past them. This game they're not looking past.
No.
And for Florida to be a one-point underdog at the Swamp, to me, makes no sense at all. I think Florida's going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be a runaway. I think it's going to be a scrappy game. This is going to be a physical football game, smash you in the mouth.
Yeah.
I don't see either team scoring a ton of points. It's going to be a huge defensive game. This might even be like a 13-10 game.
Well, the over-under disagrees. Over-under says 42.5. I'll take Florida at home. I agree with you. I'm sitting here. I'm like, man, this doesn't look – I haven't seen enough to think, oh, Kentucky's going to go into Florida and still be favored. I understand that's controversial. But I think this is a make-or-break game for Billy Napier. A lot of people think he's already gone. But if you can't beat Kentucky at home, dude – come on, you got to give me that. You got to prove you can beat a basketball school. You know, I know Mark Stoops is a great coach, but you got to give me something.
Well, you would think even if Florida was just a pedestrian SEC team, which they're not.
Right.
And Kentucky was the normal Kentucky team that we come to see and expect for the last 30 years. It makes no sense for Florida to not be a favorite in this game at home.
Yeah.
So the line on this game just makes no sense to me. I don't think they're giving the Swamp
enough
respect for what the Swamp is.
Oh, I guess
that's a tough place to go play.
I
don't care how good your football team is.
I guess they're riding on the past few years because Kentucky has held their own against the Gators. But I think this time, truly, Florida will break that curse. It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse. When we return, we've got some other games swirling around the nation here, including Friday night. We've got a top three team going on the road, and some people, at least on social media, think it might be an upset alert. Got details on that and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Forest Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check that your seats aren't in the visitor section first before buying tickets.
I'm so excited for this game. I can't believe you got us tickets.
Me too. Wait, are we on the wrong side?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
This is going to be a long game.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your fall barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie board to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, I hinted at this before we went to break. We do have number 2 Oregon playing tomorrow night on the road at Purdue. Now, people are going to see that Purdue's 1-5 and be like, why the heck are we talking about this game? Purdue has a history of beating top 3 ranked teams at home. They've beaten Ohio State there. I think it was Iowa who was ranked really high. They beat Iowa there. And there was somebody else. I can't remember who was. I think it was it a Michigan team?
It was Michigan State, I believe.
Michigan State. That may have been it. Yeah, they take care of business at home when a big dog comes into play and a big dog sleeps on them. Do you think Oregon commits that same crime?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Wholeheartedly.
No. 100% not. No, I think Oregon's a good team.
They are. They're pretty good.
They were able – I mean – Oregon is the West Coast version of an Alabama. As players leave and go to the NFL, they've got 3 players waiting right behind them to fill that same spot that are just as skilled and just as physical. So, you know, I know the talk was after last season, well, but when Bo Nix leaves, what is Oregon going to do? Well, they just filled that spot with somebody that's just as capable as Bo Nix.
Yeah, you know? Dylan Gabriel out of Oklahoma. Won 10 games with that Oklahoma team.
Transfer. I mean, Bo transferred out of Auburn to there, and they picked up another transfer quarterback that just kind of filled the gap, and they didn't drop off on talent at all.
Well, and for what it's worth, Bill, the spread seems to agree with you. They don't buy Purdue either. Oregon favored by 28. I do think Oregon wins. Wouldn't be surprised, I guess, if they didn't cover, though.
I don't know that they'll cover, but I just cannot see Purdue knocking number 2 off.
Well,
that would be the same as they did with Ohio State several years ago.
I think it's also a matter of Oregon riding high. They just beat Ohio State barely. So to go on the road after that against a 1-5 team, people I think are riding on, hey, you're sleeping on Purdue. But yeah, I'm right there with you. If Oregon State doesn't sleep on them, if Oregon doesn't sleep on them, Purdue's out of their element. All right, speaking of upsets here, or at least potential ones, number 6 Miami goes to Louisville. Louisville's 4-2. I think they just beat Virginia on the road. Virginia was a 1-loss team. Miami has there's limping to the finish line, and then there's rolling over it. I think Miami's done the latter. In Louisville, that's a tough place to play. Miami's favored by 4.5. Do you think Louisville stuns them?
This one I do agree with.
Really?
I think this could be the upset of the week.
Wow. I think it could be an upset. I think Miami holds on.
If Louisville takes anything away from the game tape against Virginia Tech, that identified the weak spots in Miami's game. And I think Louisville can take advantage of that.
Yeah, Miami is there solely because of that goose egg in their loss column. I hate to say it, but Miami's their comeuppance is coming. All righty, Saturday morning, Nebraska at Indiana. People would normally laugh at this one, but Nebraska's 5-1. Indiana's number 16 in the country. They're 6-0, and the Hoosiers also have a 6.5-point favoring. Do you think the Huskers get it done on the road?
I do not. I think Indiana wins this game.
Really?
It's the home field advantage thing.
Man, yeah.
They're closely matched as far as skill and what their teams look like, and I haven't watched a whole lot of either one of them, but what I've seen is they look very similar.
Yeah.
So this with them being so similar, I have to go with the home team.
Yeah, if that were in Lincoln, look out, Hoosiers. But, okay, Indiana at home, close. I can see that. Another upset alert, number 12 Notre Dame at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's 5-2. Notre Dame lost to a MAC school. You think Georgia Tech can overcome that 12-point spread that's against them right now?
Absolutely.
Really? I think Georgia Tech can win.
I think this is another upset for the week.
Wow, man. you got number 12 and number 6 both losing. I think Georgia Tech scares them, but I think Notre Dame hangs on. Then we got number 24 Michigan at number 22 Illinois. If this were in the big house, I'd take the Wolverines. But a lot of people think the Wolverines should not be favored, should not be ranked. They're on the road, and the Wolverines are actually favored by 3.5 points. Do you think Illinois gets it done again?
Well, now, I like Illinois. And we had talked about them about 3 or 4 weeks ago when they were going to Nebraska.
Yes.
And they beat Nebraska. I like Illinois in this game.
Wow. I take them as well. I think I had them 28-20 earlier this week. So I'll take Illinois, especially with it being at home. I think Illinois can take care of business there. Because, as I said, people are arguing that Michigan shouldn't even be ranked. And if that's true, and if they are as mediocre as their close call victories imply, then – yeah, Illinois, you don't just stumble into a 5-1 record unless you're, someone like Miami who stumbled into 6-0. Yeah, I'll give Illinois the nod there. All righty, now, Auburn, Mizzou, got to touch on that final score there, or as far as what we think the final score is going to be. Low scoring, who do you got?
Auburn 21-13.
I've got Auburn 20-17. So we've both got low scoring games, close calls. Give us the Tigers. It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.